Thank you. It's so funny, when Stan spoke this morning, of course I went home and I was like, oh my gosh, mine is nothing like his, got total anxiety. And then I realized, well, actually, I suppose that's good, I'm nothing like him. So the way I interpret scripture and the way he interprets scripture is totally different. Jan's like, thank goodness, so let's hope you all feel like that. No, it's not hating on Stan tonight, but so I listened to Matt's preach because we weren't here last week, so I had the privilege of listening to it by podcast while we were away, and obviously I was a very proud mom. And when I was preparing for tonight, I had two pictures, and I'm going to put them up later, not now, but the one was the picture that Matt put up last week, which was that man who was hiking. If you weren't here, that's okay, you'll see it just now. And he had the bottle of water in front of him, and he had the big backpack on his back. And that was the one picture that I felt God give me. For those of you who don't know, today is Pentecost Sunday. I mean, you must, if you've been a Christian this week, you must be living under a rock if you don't know that today is Pentecost Sunday. Everyone who's anyone would have told you that. Any devotion you're reading, any devotion you're listening to will tell you today is Pentecost Sunday. So that was the picture. The first picture I had was the man with the big backpack on and holding the bottle of water. And the question I want to ask us today is, how thirsty are we? Matt spoke so amazingly about many things, but the one thing he said was he spoke about the water and being planted close to the water and having the water flowing in your life. And I want to make a bit of reference to that later. And then the second picture I got, we're going to watch a little video clip just a little bit later, was this incredible picture of the woman who had the issue of blood. And if any of you have watched that amazing series, The Chosen, where the woman with the issue of blood is so hungry for a touch of Jesus to heal her, that she will do anything to push through the crowd to touch the fringe of the garment of Jesus, because she knows she will be healed. So the second picture that I had when I was preparing was, is how hungry are we? So those are the two pictures I'd love us to speak into when it comes to this beautiful day of Pentecost. And I want us to think, if you can imagine the scene, we are 40 days after Jesus has risen. It must be a bit chaotic in Jerusalem. People are, he has risen from the dead. The followers of Jesus have now had an opportunity. He's been teaching them. He has appeared to, commentators say, probably about 500 of them in different occasions. He's teaching them. He's been speaking to them, teaching them about what's going to happen when he leaves them. And now I was just thinking about all the stories. They go and they're waiting in the upper room. So now the amazing thing about waiting is as if when you know when the end is going to be. So I have had the privilege of having three amazing children. And you know when you go for your first scan and they tell you your due date. Now, out of all the pregnant ladies here, how many of you had your child on your due date? Maybe 0%, 0.1%. They never come on the due date. So you wait with anticipation for the moment. But it's much easier if you know when the date is going to be. So even when you're writing exams, I look at all the students here, and you know you're waiting for exams, and you're waiting. When you know the time, when the time is, it's much easier to wait. But now these disciples were waiting, these followers of Jesus, they were just told to wait. I mean, that must have been kind of frustrating for them. They didn't know how long it was. We know now that it was 10 days. But they didn't know. So they just went and sat. Imagine that. I mean, I've got ADD. I mean, I would have been a nightmare in that room. I was in the day pre when there was medication to help those poor children who struggle with that condition nowadays. My teachers probably thought I was a nightmare in the classroom. Can you imagine us all in a little room, 120 of us, waiting? For what? We don't know, but we were just told to wait. So they're sitting waiting in this room. The amazing thing is they're waiting together. I'm going to get to that later. They didn't just tell Jan to go. He didn't tell Jan to go and wait or Heather to wait or Stan to wait. He told them to go and wait together. And that's such a beautiful part of the whole story. If you read John 14, verse 12 to 14, I think I actually have got a slide of that. Did I put the slide up there? I can't remember, but anyway, it doesn't matter if you can't find that one. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," this is Jesus speaking, "will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." This is Jesus explaining to them. This is what he's been doing. He's been telling them, no, this doesn't matter. You can leave that one up. I'm going to get there. This is Jesus explaining to them what's going to happen after he's left. He's promising them the Holy Spirit. And he says that you're going to carry on the work that I've been doing. And he's promising them this incredible gift that he's going to give them. After you've waited for me, I'm going to give you this gift. He says in Acts 2, this is where beautiful Pentecost comes. This is the scripture that we're going to read. He talks about you're going to wait in Jerusalem for the gift. You're going to wait together. And after you've got this gift, you're going to do everything that I've been doing and more. That's what it says in John. He says you're going to carry on doing the works, even greater things than I've been doing. Do we really believe that? You know, when we talk about the Acts church, we are amazed. It's incredible. It talks about, we're going to talk about after what happened after they received the Holy Spirit. This incredible church was birthed. And we go back and we read about the Acts church and we're amazed and we think how incredible. That's what the church is supposed to be like, because they were full of the Holy Spirit. It's not supposed to be a church from then. It's supposed to be the church now. We have that power inside us today. He promises us the Holy Spirit all the time. It's living inside us today. So we're crying out and saying, Lord, why aren't we seeing those signs and those wonders and everything that was happening in the book of Acts? Well, the question is, why aren't we? And that's sort of my question. Well, are we thirsty? You can put that slide up. Are we really thirsty? And the reason I thought of that slide is I thought, you know what it says in Acts 2? If you want to turn to Acts 2, it says, "And then on the day of Pentecost, they were all together, and there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." You know the amazing thing about something being filled? In order to fill something up, it has to be empty. And when Matt was speaking about that backpack, he spoke about how full it was in our lives. I feel like sometimes our lives are too full of so many other things. But there's no space for the Holy Spirit. How can we be full of Him? How can we be filled up with Him when there's no space in our lives for Him? Are we thirsty for Him? Are we really thirsty for Him? My question to you tonight is, what's in your backpack? And I know we need stuff in our backpack. I'm not asking you to throw your family out of your backpack, or your job, or your friends, or your church. But I'm asking you, what are your priorities? Are your priorities in your backpack? But is your backpack full of stuff that maybe doesn't need to be in your backpack? But it's so full that you actually haven't got space, where it says they were all in the room and it filled. It was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you thirsty for the right things? How thirsty are we? Because then we can do anything in His name when we ask it. I think one of the reasons that it filled that space is that they were empty. They were pretty devastated. They just had him. I mean, he just, can you imagine? They were devastated. Then he rose again. They were like, oh my gosh, he's back. They just had 40 days with him. They were like so delighted. Oh yeah, he's really here. Now he left them again. Now there were 10 days of waiting. Remember, they didn't know it was going to be 10. They didn't know how long it was going to be. They were pretty empty. They were finished. They had nothing left. They were pretty empty. They were actually probably terrified. Sometimes when we're so full of fear, we don't have much space for anything else. Maybe tonight God wants to actually get rid of some fear in our lives. Sometimes fear can be huge. I know, can be a huge thing in our lives. Actually, we need to get rid of fear so the Holy Spirit can replace that. We need to take some stuff out of our backpack. I love that picture of the water being in front of us. Holy Spirit is often referred to as water. It's referred to as many different things, but water is one of those things. I love the fact that Matt spoke about that actually when you're on a hike, it's the water that you need. You can't actually keep going. You're going up that hill, you're like, just give me some more water, give me some more water. For me, I'm like, Lord, please let me be so thirsty. Doesn't matter how full my backpack is, I just want a drink of your Spirit, because that's going to get me going to the top of the mountain and keep me going on your journey. And then the next slide I want to, we're just going to watch a little bit of a clip. I'm hoping that it's going to play nicely. This is a clip from The Chosen.
Everyone,
make room.
Stay back, everyone.
Teacher!
A rabbi has a pressing matter ahead.
Teacher!
No. Please, no. Not now. One thread. Just a fringe. One touch. Just a fringe. One touch. One thread. Just the edge. Only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yusuf!
This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
No, please, just a moment. Just a
What's wrong?
Who touched me?
Everybody back.
Back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it.
But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment.
And I was right. I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. I'm so glad that we found each other.
Hey there, it's Allison, the creator of The
Thanks.
Chosen. I just want to let you know the show is...
Such a radical clip. I'm so moved when I see her face. When I see her complete desperation to push through to Jesus. She was not supposed to be there. She was not allowed to be there. But she did not stop because she knew she had to get to Jesus. And I think we take for granted the fact that we can just come into the presence of the Lord at any stage. We have access to his presence all the time. Have we lost that hunger? Have we lost the fact that they waited for 10 days for the presence of the Lord to fall on them, and then they were changed? They were completely changed. And you know what happened afterwards? So the first thing that happened was that it said Peter stood up. And you know what I loved? Even with her... You can put the next slide up. Shepherd's busy, but it's fine when he gets a chance. You know what was amazing after that? Peter stood up, and there's a couple of reasons that he stood up. He had been reinstated by Jesus a little bit before. Do you remember he wasn't the greatest guy. I mean, you saw him there like Jesus. There's people pushing in all the time. I mean, he knew that was Andrew, but he wasn't the greatest guy. He had made some mistakes, but Jesus had reinstated him a few scriptures before and said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Jesus had taken away his shame. But you know what was amazing? He knew the scriptures. I want to ask us, when we get the opportunity, do we stand up boldly and are we prepared? Because that's what he did. Because when the Holy Spirit fell on the people, and the unbelievers were looking in, He stood up boldly, and he was able to answer for what happened. And I think, are we prepared in those situations to answer for what was happening? Because he was able to tell the people, no, they're not drunk. They are talking in those different languages, but no, they're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They haven't been drinking. And then he quoted Joel straight away. Sure, I hope I'm prepared in those situations that I can answer for when people are asking me those situations. And then the other thing that happened, it poured out on every single person. I was having a conversation with someone as we came in, and he was saying in his work environment, he prays with different people in his work environment, but none of them pray. He's the only one who prays. It's almost like they feel like they're not worthy to pray. They let him pray because he's a little bit higher than them in his workplace. No, it fell on everyone. Every single person here, from the youngest person lying on the floor here drawing to the oldest person sitting here tonight. Holy Spirit fell on every single one of us, male, female, every color, every language. The Holy Spirit doesn't discriminate like we do. Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. Today, yesterday, and today. We can't forget that. And then this radical church was formed. It was an incredible church community. As I said before, it wasn't an individual, it was a communal thing. It happened because they were together. They were sacrificial. It goes on to say they sold all their possessions. Some of them sold houses. There was no need amongst them. That's a radical community. They gave away things to make sure that the person next to them had. When was the last time you did that? It was a radical community. And then they met every day. That's pretty radical. We only have like a prayer meeting, maybe a home group, maybe Sunday church. Sure, and that's even a hard, big commitment for everybody. Not everybody does those things. We only have like 3 big meetings in a week. Not everybody can make it to those things. These people met every single day. It's radical. Radical commitment, radical church. And it says they were overflowing with joy and sincere hearts. Nobody forced them to be joyful. They were overflowing with joy. And it wasn't put on. It was like a sincere thing that was real. It wasn't fake. They were sincere. They had sincere hearts, and they were full of joy. And there were signs and wonders. I was also chatting to this guy, and I said to him, you know what? I think that is this next stage we're going into. People cannot deny signs and wonders. They cannot deny healings. They can't deny it. That's what we need to be trusting for. I'm trusting when we take communion tonight, if you are sick in your body, you need to trust that God is going to heal you. You need to stand in faith that God is going to heal your body. If you are sick tonight, we need to be trusting for signs and wonders to break out. And then it says, if you move to the next slide, it says what happened when this whole church was formed. It led to favor with all people, not just favor amongst the church. That meant it led to favor with everybody in the city, in their workplace, wherever they were, there was just favor. I mean, that is a radical, amazing thing. Can we trust for that again? Can we trust that in your workplace, because the Holy Spirit falls upon you, there is just favor wherever you go? And subsequently, there was growth. And because of that, there was massive salvations. It says that when they spoke the word of God, people were cut to the heart and they couldn't help but be saved. Because that's what we want. We want people, it says people were added to their number. So they were added to their number because people were getting saved. Such a radical, amazing testimony, what happened when the Holy Spirit just fell on these people. And that's what we can trust for. We can trust for that all over again, over and over again. People are filled with the Holy Spirit and have this radical church. And it can be a motley crew. They don't all look the same. Obviously, they don't all look the same because they spoke different tongues. They were just a different crowd of people that were all together in one place. There's this beautiful quote. Maybe you can put up that next picture. It's of the buildings in Budapest. Isn't that beautiful? It's the Parliament buildings in Budapest that are illuminated by lights at night. And this is what J.I. Packer says. He says, the Holy Spirit's distinctive new covenant role is to fulfill what we might call floodlit ministry in relation to the Lord Jesus. So actually what the Holy Spirit does in our life is actually he's supposed to illuminate Jesus in our lives. I love that picture because during the day when you go past these Parliament buildings, they do still look beautiful. But at night and in the day, you can't see the floodlights. Obviously, they're in the ground. But at nighttime, the floodlights come on, and that's what the building ends up looking like. And I thought, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates Jesus in our lives. It's like he stands behind us, and he shines through our lives and shows Jesus to the world. Is that what he does in your life? When your life is full of the Holy Spirit, that's what he should be doing. He should be shining Jesus through your life that people say, what is different about this person? Well, actually, it's illuminating Jesus. When you walk through a beautiful art gallery and you look at an incredible piece of artwork, you don't stop and stare at the floodlight and say, wow, what an amazing light showing this statue. No, you don't. You just look at the statue. But actually, the Holy Spirit is illuminating Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. We don't worship the Holy Spirit. We worship Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us power to show and worship Jesus in our lives every day to everybody else. And then there's one other scripture you can put up. James Dunn does a lovely commentary on the book of Acts. And he says, the mission of the church, we cannot hope to be effective without the empowering spirit of the Holy Spirit. He transcends human ability and he transforms human inability. I love that because we all have unbelievable inability, human inability. And the Holy Spirit completely transcends that. And he helps us with our human inability so that we can actually get on with the job that the church has got to do. And our job is to go out and shine for Jesus in the mission field out there. So I trust that we can go out and so we can come forward and maybe get some of the elements tonight. And maybe we can take them back to our chair and then we can share them together and trust God for that. Potentially, I felt two things. I felt the thing of the healing, and then I felt that God was going to fill us again. So maybe you have had an infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you never have. Maybe it's your first time. If you're new and you're a visitor here tonight, maybe you've never had an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you come from a place where you feel like you only receive it once. Can I help you? You don't. You can receive it many, many times. Because God wants to equip us and enable us every single day to live a full life so that we can get on with the mission that he has for us.